The title of Stokely Carmichael's new memoir refers to a greeting he used during the last decade of his life. He'd begin or end telephone conversations saying, "Ready for revolution." But Ekwemme Michael Thelwell says that when he talked about revolutionary change, Stokely Carmichael was talking about a change in spirit and values.
He had a vision of a society that could be humane, that could be rational, but his impulse towards drastic, transforming social change was always predicated on a certain compassion and a certain sense of justice, which I think readers of this book will discover to their great surprise, because that is not the image of him which prevails, particularly in the media of this country.
He was born on the island of Trinidad. How did that shape his outlook?
The antecedents of his family were not Southern American, as was the case of most of black people he met in the North. He was conditioned by Caribbean culture, by the Africans of it, by British colonialism to a certain extent. But then he was also conditioned a great deal by New York culture, the culture of Harlem, the street corner orators, the nationalist movements. He was conditioned by the intellectual culture of Bronx High School of Science, by the various strands of immigrants, working class and middle class, bright students who came there. So that, in a curious way, you'd have to say that Carmichael was a composite of America in all its diversity when he came to Howard University and came to manhood in the civil rights movement.
He says in the book, although he was studying at Howard University when he went to work in the South, it was Mississippi that was his education. In what sense?
One of the things he does say is, Mississippi taught me to love my blackness. It's black rural Southern culture, the music and the liturgy and the morality of the church and the eloquence in the language, the amazing courage of ordinary black people in the South. See, we had been told, the young people of that generation, activists, that in the South, the black community was psychologically suppressed for so long that people were very slow and lacked the initiative to resist their oppressor. And that if, therefore, we were going down to organize the movement for voting rights, for human rights in the South, we were going there as missionaries to somehow save these people. And he says, when I got there, I discovered people who had a culture which had sustained them through slavery, sustained them through all the vicissitudes of black history in the South.
He was a great admirer of Martin Luther King Jr. when he was a young activist. How much did his thinking change over time?
He began as a great admirer of Martin Luther King. And he says in the book, I parted company with the nationalists because I recognized that nonviolence was a very powerful weapon indeed. Anything that could get thousands of people in the streets was powerful, and I respected it. That was the position he began with. And that, contrary to the media opinion, is the position he died with. He says, I wasn't committed to nonviolence as a way of life in every and all circumstances, but in certain circumstances it was effective and should be used. His position on Dr. King is quite different from the conventional wisdom, which is that young militants led by Stokely Carmichael turned against Dr. King and discredited him in the movement. That's absolutely not true. Carmichael's respect and admiration for Dr. King never changed. Their political positions changed, but their personal relationship was always very warm, very fraternal, very respectful.
Why do you think he has been so misunderstood, even feared?
Part of it is his personality. He saw himself, as he says, having a responsibility to represent the interests and possibilities of black people honestly. And to do that, he thought he had to be totally candid and totally clear. But, you know, he also was very eloquent and he had a sense of theater. And then frequently, when he would be meeting the press, some people would be very aggressive in advancing their positions. And in the face of that kind of provocation, Carmichael would be very provocative indeed and terrified people. But I would be followed up by a very reasoned and very serious kind of a discussion. But that frequently didn't make the headlines. So what people saw about Carmichael was a militant firebrand, not the thoughtful social analyst and dedicated worker for productive social change.
How did his vision for social change ultimately come to encompass Africans around the world?
He became what they used to call a cultural nationalist. He became a strong advocate of those aspects of black people's culture and perceptions and behavior that made them distinctive. And this was true for a whole generation. And that is what attracted him back to Africa and attracted all of us back to Africa. So in a certain sense, you know, this book is a history of the black 60s and 70s because it tells a story from a very different perspective from conventional history.
Ekwemme Michael Thelwell worked with Stokely Carmichael on a new book called Ready for Revolution, The Life and Struggles of Stokely Carmichael. Mr. Thelwell is a professor of Afro-American Studies at the University of Massachusetts. For Coast to Coast, this is Nancy.